It's Christmas, and I want to do like a different Thanksgiving, three messages around the Christmas theme, and I want to talk about having a big Christmas. I like having a big Christmas. I love Christmas. It is my favorite time of the year. I love the colors. I love the songs, and I love all the songs. I love some of the secular songs, but I really like the Christian songs. Amen. And I just love this time of year, the giving, the parties that we go to. And some people say it's, you know, they complain about it. I don't complain about it, man. I've got one I'm going to this Friday night. I've got one the next Tuesday night. Got one here at the church on that following Wednesday night. And anybody else wants to party, let me know. We'll plan a night. I like to party. I like to have fun and fellowship. I lost 40 pounds, so I can gain about 10 back, and then we'll work it back at the first of the year. I'm trying to get the Best Buy guys in my department. We're trying to get a party for us as well. So, but this is I feel like we as Christians ought to make every Christmas a big Christmas. Amen. The biggest we can. And so I want to talk about a big Christmas. And I want to talk tonight in this first message about the big words of Christmas. Then I'm going to talk about the big colors of Christmas, the red, the green, the gold. And then I want to talk to you in the last message about the big lessons of Christmas, things we can learn at the stable. But I believe this Christmas can be the biggest ever. Would you stand with me as we go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, one of the greatest words that penetrated into the darkness of human pathos and history, was found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. If you're there, would you say amen? Let's read it out loud together. Everyone read. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Let open our ears to hear. Make this Christmas the biggest ever. God, anoint me with fresh oil. Anoint this congregation to hear, and we'll give you praise. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. When it comes to, I want to talk about the big words of Christmas, big words. When it comes to big words, you know, I didn't go to Duke or Harvard or Yale. I went to East Carolina. So I really like my words to be simple. You know, kids struggle with big words. I heard about the little girl who just couldn't quite get the word trespasses out in the Lord's Prayer. And so she said, and this is the little kid. She said, and Lord, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. I don't think she was really that far off of the concept. It reminds me of another little boy when he was asked by his father if he remembered what were the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. And he said, I know, Daddy. It was gold, Frankenstein, and humor. I guess we all struggle with big words. But tonight I want to take the struggle out of Christmas' biggest words. And what are those words? Words like Advent, words like incarnation, words like epiphany, words like nativity. And the first point, number one tonight, I want to start with is the big word of Christmas itself. Somebody say Christmas. Now, some people don't realize, where did we get the word Christmas from? It is really Christ's Mass. You know, before 1500, everybody was Roman Catholic. So everybody went to Christ's Mass on the day they had set aside to celebrate on December the 25th. Centuries ago, the forefathers of the Roman Catholic Church set aside this date to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, why did they choose that date? They chose December 25th because December the 21st is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year when the earth begins to turn and the days begin to, from that moment, to get longer and brighter. And all of the pagans in that world would do a huge celebration on December 21st to the sun god, the S-U-N. And I can't even begin to describe to you in this public gathering tonight the things that they did in honor of the S-U-N God. It was debauchery and abomination and wickedness and all that mankind did to worship an unknown God that they called the S-U-N Sun God. Well, the church said, we're going to take this season and we're going to turn it around. And just a few days later, probably after everybody sobers up, We're going to call them to church to repent. And on December the 25th, they chose to have Christ's Mass. And they purposely chose to worship not the S-U-N on the 21st, but the S-O-N on the 25th. And I want you to know that Christmas from the beginning never was a pagan holiday. Quite the opposite. It was started to counter the pagan holiday of the Sun God. The Roman Catholic Church and those forefathers said, you want to worship the S-U-N? We're going to worship the coming of the S-O-N. You want to celebrate the days getting shorter and the days getting longer? I want you to know with the S-O-N, there's an unending day of glory and victory, and we're going to celebrate that unto us a child was a son was born, and unto us a son was given. And I want you to know tonight in 2019 that we don't ever need to forget Christmas. My brother and sister, it's not happy holidays. It's not winter break. I want you to know it's Christmas. Let's get the word back in the vocabulary. It is Christmas. Somebody give him hand praise here tonight. The light of heaven came down to be the light of the world. And we've got these politically incorrect people that are doing away with nativity scenes. And it's no longer Christmas break. Sarah Palin wrote in her book, Good Tidings and Great Joy, Protecting the Heart of Christmas. She wrote about 3 or 4 years ago. And she chronicled, and to my sadness to read this, but she talked about how a school right here in North Carolina, Western Piedmont Community College, over in the western side of the state, in Morganton, North Carolina, how that every year the school sold Christmas trees. But a few years ago, they said, no, you can't call them Christmas trees any longer. You're going to call them holiday trees. Oh, how sad it is that we're losing that big word of Christmas. I heard about a Christmas play in a church, and they were having little children dress up as shepherds, wise men, etc. The highlight of the Christmas play was to show the radiance of Jesus. So they had a fake figurine of Jesus, and they had a bulb inside of that, and the lights were to be turned off, and the baby Jesus through that light bulb was supposed to glow and shine in the darkened theater there, in the darkened church. And sure enough, as the time came for the climax of the Christmas play, the lights went down, but something went wrong. And evidently the bulb was blown because the light, Jesus, didn't light up. And one of the little kids, not knowing how loud he was, said, hey, somebody turned off Jesus. When I look around this Christmas and some of this politically correct stuff, and when I see people trying to change things, I want to say, hey, quit turning off Jesus. My brother and sister, Christmas is not about just Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus. I want you to know Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then let's have a big Christmas. Let's turn Jesus back on to this world. Why don't you stand up and give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Oh, we bless you, Lord. He's the Son of the living God. You may be seated. We need to take, if you take Jesus out of Christmas, you won't have a holiday, you'll have a hollow day. What's another big word of Christmas? Point number two, the word incarnation. Say that with me. Say it again. Aren't you proud of yourself? You said a big word. Taught from an East Carolina graduate. Amen. What does incarnation mean? It basically means the embodiment of deity in earthly form. It's the union of divinity with humanity. In other words, go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It is a manifestation of God on earth. Verse Timothy 3 and 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. He was already existing before Christmas Day. He didn't come from Mary. He came through Mary. You see, before I was conceived, probably in December of 1970. I was born in August of 1971. You do the math. Somewhere around the last part, probably Christmas holidays, Mom and Dad were enjoying being young married. Let me move on quickly. And here I is. Amen. But I didn't, she'd kill me if she was here tonight. But I was not existent before that moment. But friend, Jesus, it was not a man and a woman that came together. It was God that overshadowed a willing human vessel. And we call it the incarnation. Glory to God. Where God stepped out of the heavens and came to the womb of a virgin. A woman who had never, ever had a relationship, sexual relationship with a man. She was completely pure. And I just want to stop right here and do a little preaching right here while I can. There's still something sacred about keeping yourself pure. We believe and teach, and the scriptures teach, that sexual relationship is a beautiful and a wonderful thing within the context, and only one way that can be expressed legitimately and blessedly, and that is in a covenant of marriage, not living together, not dating and friends with benefits. If you've got friends that want that kind of benefits, you've got the wrong friend. I can tell you that now. Because I want you to know there's something beautiful about purity. And I know we're all tempted, and I know that we're all humans, but that Mary was pure, and I'm sure she was tempted like anybody else. But the good news is, if you have fallen, if you have made a mess of things, I want you to know that He will forgive you, and He'll give you another chance. And you can't go back and make a new start, my friend, but you can tonight turn around and make a new end. And I want you to know that that's the joy of Christmas, that He can take the harlot, like Pastor said this morning, and make a pure vessel out of them. So where you are tonight, why don't you make a fresh commitment? I'm going to be sexually pure in a sexually charged world. God's looking for holy people and holy vessels that He can use for His glory. That's free of charge tonight. Well, if people say, well, Mary wasn't a virgin. Her and Joseph were married. They came together, and she became pregnant like any other woman. I'm telling you, she was a miraculous virgin birth. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and 16. And I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures. The incarnation. Somebody say the incarnations. Matthew 1 and 16. And if you go to book of Matthew, don't go there. Just stay at 1 and verse 16. But the first chapter of the book of Matthew starts with a long list of names. Names that are hard for East Carolina graduates to pronounce. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham got Isaac. Isaac got Judah. Jacob and Isaac begot Judah and his brethren, and Judah begot Phares and Tamar and all of that. Then I can't pronounce the words, Nehashtan and different ones. And finally, this one had this one. But go to verse 16 of Matthew 1. And Jacob begot Joseph. Now it would have read, Jacob begot Joseph. And if Joseph was the father of Jesus, it would have said like this. And Jacob begot Joseph, and Joseph begot Jesus, just like the rest of the 14 went up there. But it didn't say that. It made a shift. It said that Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Even in that subtle change there, the writer of Matthew was saying, hey, Jesus was not the child of Joseph. He was the son of the living God. The incarnation. Somebody give Him praise for that tonight. Thank you for a big Christmas. There's another one in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says, Matthew 2, and look, notice this. It says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and notice this. Take the young child and his mother. Couple of things here. If that was Joseph's son, the angel would have said, Joseph, take your son and your wife. Or Joseph, take your wife and your son. But no, the angel said, Joseph, take the child and his mother. Even in that phrase, he puts the child over the mother. Let's never put the mother over the child. There are some churches that worship Mary. No, sir. The child always comes before the mother. And that's another thing. You would say take mama and the boy. But the angel said take the boy and then take mama. Why? Because the boy came not from mama, but through mama. We have the incarnation. What a big Christmas it was, that first Christmas day. Amen. Somebody said it like this. Jesus is the only baby ever born who had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. He had a heavenly father, but no heavenly mother. He is the only baby ever born, listen, who is older than his mother and as old as his daddy. Silent night, holy night. Round John, virgin, mother and child. Can we praise God for the incarnation? Amen. A big word. A big word. And here's another one. Point number three is the word epiphany. Say epiphany. Epiphany. What does that mean? It just, the word epiphany just means a flash or a moment of realization. When you're driving down the road and you don't even realize you're going 78 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden you see a blue light in the mirror. That feeling is your epiphany. Woo. Or, oh. So, epiphany. And we're talking about the wise men. Who were the wise men? That's another sermon for another day. There may be, we say there were three. There probably were more like 30. We don't know how many wise men they were. They traveled in entourages. You can do studies. And they were a school that started by Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was the founder of the school that they studied. They were astronomers. Meaning they studied the stars and the courses of the stars, and Daniel taught them that there was a coming one. There was the star of that was coming, the bright and the morning star that the Song of Solomon wrote about was a prophetic word. And so they went down to generations. They mapped the stars. Now, don't get it confused with astrologers. Astrologers worship the stars. They plan, you know, astrology, the horoscope that you can read in the paper. Now, let me take a time out right here and do some little preaching. It's not in my notes. Don't read the astrologers. And don't download an app on your phone. And I don't care if you're Leo or Virgo or Cleo or whoever you are. You are a child of the living God. And you don't go by the stars. You go by the bright in the morning star. His name is Jesus. Come on, say amen tonight. Astrology is worship of stars. Astronomy is the study of stars. And those stars, man, they tell a story. The gospel you can see in the stars. And sure enough, they saw what? The star. And it was their epiphany. Look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. We're going to sing that song in our cantata, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And that epiphany guided them to Christ. And in fact, going back to the Roman Catholic Church, they set up December the 25th as the day of the birth of Christ. Now, the wise men did not come on the night, probably. I don't want to get into an argument here, and Brother Philip and others, we can maybe, I'm sure, have done study on this, but more than likely, because it says they were in a house at the time, the wise men did not come to the stable. Now, we see it in the pictures, and if it did happen, fine. If it didn't happen, fine. We're not here to argue about it, but more than likely, they didn't come at the moment Jesus was born. They came when he was a little bit older, and so the Roman Catholic Church, 12 days after December 25th, is January the 6th. That is what they call on the Christian calendar Epiphany Sunday. That's the day they celebrate the coming of the wise men. Now, we don't know if it was 12 days or maybe it could have been 2 years. We don't know what it was. We know that they gave him gold, and that gold was what financed him going to Egypt. And we know that they had a house at this time. But the point I'm trying to tell you is, you ever heard of the 12 days of Christmas on the first day of Christmas on the second day? We're talking about that length of time from when the child was born to the time that they found him. Do you remember when you found him? Do you remember the greatest epiphany of all? Is when you were thinking you were okay, and you were enjoying your sins, and you were getting worse and worse, and the alcohol was giving you a buzz, and the reefer was giving you a high, and all of this stuff, and then you begin to realize, hey, this stuff isn't helping me. It's hurting me. And you begin to realize that I'm in sin. And somebody preached to you, somebody witnessed to you, and you realize, oh no, I'm doing this stuff, and this stuff is really hurting me. And not only that, but I have sin. And if I stand before God, I'm condemned, I'm guilty. But yet, in that moment, an epiphany But you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus Christ came. Does anybody remember their own epiphany when that moment came that you said, yes, Lord, I bow my knee. I finally see the light. The scales fell off and I saw that star for myself. And I came and it was the biggest time and the biggest Christmas ever. Amen. That moment when you realized that you needed Jesus was your own epiphany. So that's a big word of Christmas. And then number four, the word nativity. Nativity. That's not a heart. Say that with me, nativity. So we've talked about epiphany. Say epiphany. Say incarnation. Say incarnation. And say the word, let me see here, Christmas. Say it. All right, all right. And then nativity. Say nativity. Now, what does the word nativity mean? It just basically means the place of someone's birth. I was born in a particular place. I'm native to America. If you want to get more specific, I'm native to North Carolina. The pastor, Jerry, was talking with our presiding bishop last Sunday. And what a conversation it was. Saturday night was, I was just listening to Pastor Jerry and our presiding bishop. And they got to talking about their, the presiding bishop noticed our pastor has a different accent from the rest of us here. He picked up on that. If you've never been around the pastor, you may pick up on it. But he's from about 60 miles away. His nativity is in Henderson, North Carolina. There we go. And even the Methodists shout to run the aisles up there. So, what was that? Henderson. Okay, okay. I remember when I was interviewing at a church in Danville, Virginia, which is about another hour going on the northwest side of Henderson. Those folks really talk country. I thought I was watching one of those movies. You know, I thought the first person I heard talk like that, I thought they were, you know, putting on a show or something. I didn't think it, until they all started talking with that real slang. But nativity just means, and when we went to Washington, D.C. for our 25th wedding anniversary, yours truly and Sister Darnell, would you believe that the people in the hotel and people, even on the last day, we had two little African-American girls, and they rode the elevator with us, and we just did small talk. Where are y'all from? We from New York. And they were kind of snickering a little bit, and I said, and they asked where we were from. We told them, we said, well, we're from North Carolina, and they just snickered and said, we knew. They're getting a kick out of our southern accent. I don't think I've got a southern accent, but evidently they did. Nativity. That's Jesus was born where, church? Where was he born? Somebody say Bethlehem. Oh, and think about when Jesus was born. Just a few years ago, Prince William and Princess Kate had a baby. And that was about 2 or 3 years ago. And that baby received optimal care. The world was celebrating. There were guards outside of the future heir to the throne of England. And there were guards. That baby was instantly born into wealth and royalty. How contrasting it was to Jesus. Where was his nativity? It was in a place called Bethlehem. It wasn't even Mama's hometown. Wasn't even Daddy's hometown. Mary gave birth in a barn. Stables, what we call it and what the scripture calls it. And ladies, those of you that have had children, can you imagine being in a barn giving birth with no medicine, no doctors? And can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the embarrassment? Can you imagine that nativity? Oh, my friend, the Bible says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I'm going to come to that in the last scripture. But go to John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, and he did what? He dwelt among us. That's what the nativity is, that God stepped out of heaven and dwelt. In fact, the message paraphrase says it like this, that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I want you to know that's what the nativity basically is. It's a big word, but basically it says he moved into the neighborhood. Aren't you glad that he moved into the neighborhood? And here's something even better. Do you remember the night he moved into your neighborhood? Amen. He didn't just stay in Bethlehem. He's in your neighborhood. He's in the upper neighborhood. He's in the lower neighborhood. He's in the suburbs. He's in the downtown. I don't care where you are. You can have the best, biggest Christmas ever because Jesus came down and he's down in your neighborhood. He moved into the neighborhood. Can you give him praise here tonight? And then the final big word, as I begin to bring this to a close, is the word Advent. Somebody say Advent. What does that word mean? Well, the word Advent is a shortened version of the word adventure. You know what the word adventure means. If you've drive down Raleigh Road Parkway, you know that's an adventure. Here's to bring it home. If you were at Walmart on Black Friday, that was an adventure. Come on now. When you go to Christmas at home and all the cousins come, that's an adventure. Crazy cousins and crazy uncles and crazy aunts. That word Advent literally means coming. Somebody say the word coming. Go to Genesis 3 and 15 that the pastor referenced this morning. Genesis 3 and 15. What happened on that Christmas morning was the Advent. The coming. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head and it shall bruise his heel. That was the first promise of the coming one. The one that would bruise the head of Satan. But in bruising the head of Satan, it would also bruise his heel. How many of you know you can recover from a heel, damaged heel? Have you ever had plantar fasciitis? And it's not feels good, does it? My wife came down with it in Dallas, Texas at General Conference, and it took her weeks and weeks. I had to do everything around the house. Let me move along before the anointing leaves. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Somebody say Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, it says here in the New Living Translation, you are a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, whose origins are from the distant past. I want you to know that Bethlehem Ephrathah was a looked down upon city. You know, we've got cities. Now, I'm not going to call any. You might be from there. But sometimes a city can be looked down on. I will say this. When I was growing up, I grew up in Rocky Mount. Or right outside. Well, I grew up in Rocky Mount proper. In the city limits, Rocky Mount. When I was about 10, we moved out to West Mount. But I was a Rocky Mount kid. Went to Rocky Mount to shop. And I remember growing up, we in Rocky Mount looked down on Wilson. And I don't mean that wrong. We just kind of put our nose down to Wilson, you know, little old bitty Wilson, and we were mighty Rocky Mount. Back then, Wilson didn't have anything. We had all the stuff over there. Well, guess what? It's flipped now, isn't it? Now it's the mighty Wilson and the crumbling Rocky Mount. And by the way, nothing against Rocky Mount, nothing against Wilson. I'm telling you, I live in Wilson now, I live in Rocky Mount. So I love them both, amen. I actually have a great burden for my hometown of Rocky Mount. I've always kept it in my prayers that God would do a mighty revival there because that's the land of my nativity. That's the place of my roots where God saved me and called me to preach. I preached my first sermon in Rocky Mount, my family in Rocky Mount, my mother, grandmother, and grandfather on Falls Road of Rocky Mount and from generations back. But please understand that Bethlehem was looked down upon. Bethlehem is where they were famous. Bethlehem means house of bread. Somebody say house of bread. I don't have time to go back in there. So Bethlehem is famous for making bread. Ephrathah, which is right outside of Bethlehem, there were like two cities, Rocky Mount Wilson, Raleigh, Durham. There were two cities kind of together, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Ephrathah was known for making wine. And guess where Jesus was born? Right in the middle of that. Is that a coincidence? Bread, wine. What does that tell us about the communion? That he is the bread of life. And he's going to shed his blood, the wine. And I want to stop right here and tell you, look, God knows where you're born. Amen. And it doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter who you were born to. It doesn't matter how you were born. You might have been so-called illegitimate. You might have had a terrible place where you were born. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus came into the lowly places. He came into the forgotten places. But I want you to know, his land of nativity was not very pleasant. But my friend, I don't care where you are tonight. Jesus is in your neighborhood. Jesus is there. And he has come. Somebody say, he has come. Amen. That was his first coming. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth. And when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the advent, the coming of the Lord. Oh, and think about that first. Think about that journey. You know, when I was pastoring down at Smyrna, every Christmas I would put on my car 400 miles. I'd drive all the way up to Rocky Mount, all the way down to Goldsboro, all the way back. It was 400 miles for my Christmas. But I thought about Jesus. He didn't go 400 miles. He went from heaven to earth to come to where I was. Oh, thank God for his coming, the advent. Aren't you thankful he came that first Christmas morning? Why don't you give him praise for it tonight that he came? Mary and Joseph traveled 75 miles from Nazareth to reach Bethlehem. Not so far by today's standard, but what is the distance between the Creator and the creation? What is the distance between the divine and the human? What is the gap between the infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful God and weak and ignorant humanity? What is the distance between the Holy One and the creature steeped in sin? What is the gap between light and darkness, purity and pollution, virtue and vice? Truly, the gap seems unbridgeable. Yet on that first Christmas, the distance between God and humankind was bridged through the advent. That was his first advent. But let me close this message by telling you that that's not the only advent that's going to be recorded. We had the first advent. If you say first, you got to imply the what? Did you hear me? Did you hear yourself? The second advent. My friend, he came the first time on that big Christmas. But I want you to know that he's going to come again. It ain't over. Glory to God. He lived and he died. And I want you to know, some glad morning when this life is over, I will fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly. What are you saying, preacher? I want to make this Christmas big. I want to celebrate the Epiphany. I want to celebrate, praise God, Christmas itself. I want to celebrate the Nativity. But I want to celebrate the Advent, the first one. But I also want to keep my eye on the eastern sky. Oh, because soon and very soon, we are going to see a king. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's coming again. He is his second advent. Every day brings us closer and closer and closer that he is coming again in the clouds of glory. Are you ready for that coming? I'm asking you tonight. Oh, I want you to know he's moved into your neighborhood. I want you to have an epiphany tonight. I want you to come to yourself like the prodigal. And I want you to meet the master who stepped out of time, eternity into time. I want you tonight to have your, I want you tonight to meet the one who's not only coming in the future, but I want you to know something, Pastor Jerry, he's right here tonight. Amen. I said he came tonight. How many of you felt the Lord in this house tonight? Do you know what we were feeling? The Advent. Hallelujah. You know what? It's Christmas all the time. If we love the Lord, give him a hand of praise here tonight. Stand with me if you would. I said, soon, give me a key, brother. Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Come on, sing it. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Come on, what is it now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. Come on, let's have a big Christmas this year. Let's celebrate the coming of the Lord. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Listen to me tonight as they play softly. You need an epiphany tonight. You need to realize that our God loves you. And He is there in the hospital. If He came to a stable with a messy barn, I promise you, He's stepping into your mess tonight. I want you to come to Jesus. How many of you want to have a big Christmas this year? I want you to join me in prayer. How many of you got some loved ones that need an epiphany? Amen. How many of you got some loved ones that need for Jesus to move into their neighborhood and for them to receive Him? Come on, step out of your seat. Let's have a big Christmas at Westmoreland. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. A big Christmas, soon and very soon. I said we're going to have a big Christmas. Keep playing it tonight.